This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Kent Willis is the executive director of the Virginia ACLU, and he joins us on the long line from his office in Richmond. Good afternoon, Kent.
Good afternoon, Coy.
Now, we had some breaking news yesterday with the statement by the governor to, is it technically a stay or a reprieve? What's the legal verbiage we should use here?
Well, he uses the word delay, which makes sense to all of us. So he said he's delaying the execution date of Percy Walton until June 10th, 2008. And during that time, he's going to continue to observe and evaluate his mental state to determine if he will be executed at that time. What the governor did say was that it was clear to him that at this juncture, based on recent observations and recent evaluations, that he is too mentally impaired to be executed at this time.
Kent, give us the backstory. Who is this guy, and what was he found guilty of doing?
Percy Walton, in 1996, killed three people, two older people and a younger person. He was about 18 years old at the time, had a long history of being a very troubled youth. While he started to... He ultimately entered into the sort of trial phase, but about midway into that, he basically said, listen, I did it, and he was given the death penalty based on the notion, in Virginia, you can get the death penalty because of the vileness. If you commit something that is a capital crime, you can get the death penalty because of vileness of the crime itself or because of future dangerousness. That is, they think you'll do it again. And the court basically ruled that they felt that he would do it again based on the kind of person that he was, and so they gave him the death penalty. The issue that sort of haunts this whole case from beginning, going back to childhood to the current time, is both the question of his mental competence in terms of whether he's mentally ill or not. There's also the question of whether he's mentally retarded. And what he presents to us is this very complicated case that the governor has obviously tried to grapple with in a very sophisticated way. But the Supreme Court says you can't execute someone if they don't understand what the death penalty means or why they're receiving the death penalty. And numerous reports from people who know this person, who work with him, professionals and non-professionals, say this guy does not understand that that the death penalty means he's going to die. He talks about after the execution, meeting up with his grandfather and meeting up with other people and going to the Burger King. He clearly has no comprehension whatsoever of the death penalty. And that means under a U.S. Supreme Court decision from 1986, he's not to be executed.
And that decision says what precisely, that we're not to execute people that have been found to be psychotic?
Yeah, if you do not, you could say that. I think that's probably the briefest way of saying it. But if you are so psychotic or so crazy that you don't understand what the execution means or why you're being executed, then the Supreme Court says you can't execute that person. And that's exactly what Governor Kane found in this instance after doing his own evaluation of it. It's also what a score of psychologists and psychiatrists have been saying for the last 10 years about this guy.
There's one state psychiatrist that's been quoted as saying that Percy Walton is, quote-unquote, floridly psychotic. I don't even know what floridly means, but it doesn't sound good.
Yeah, and I've seen that phrase too, and I think that means full-blown, fully blossomed, a person that's delusional and has very little contact with reality. This is a guy who sits in his otherwise apparently empty cell and collects salt and pepper packets by the thousands and stacks them up and restacks them, talks to himself. He's referred to by the people who guard him as Crazy Horse. That's just the term they use for him. It's astonishing in many ways that his case got this far, given how mentally ill he appears to be. And on top of that, we have a situation where just prior to an original scheduled execution in 2003, he was given an IQ test and tested out at 66. And the U.S. Supreme Court says you can't execute someone who's mentally retarded either. Now, it just so happened that there were some older IQ test from when he was 16 or 17 where he scored slightly higher. So you have this situation where you have experts, some saying, well, he really is smarter than he's letting on to be.
Kent Willis is our guest, the executive director of the Virginia ACLU. We're talking about the governor's decision to postpone by 18 months an execution that was planned for later this week. Kent, there's a lot of folks out there who think, you know, I don't care how crazy he is. If he killed somebody, he should be put to death. But I think most people feel like would agree with the Supreme Court decision that the state shouldn't be executing people who are literally crazy and really don't know what they're doing. And I think most people don't want to see that happening. So how did, if this guy truly is as crazy as all these psychiatrists say he is, how did it get this far where he was to have been executed Friday?
That's right. This was the Friday was the third time. He was originally scheduled in 2003. He was then scheduled for June of 2006, and then he was scheduled again for December 2006. And of course, now we have him rescheduled for June of 2008. And it does. It shows how complex these issues are. And I think part of the complexity is no matter what you say and no matter how many advances we make, figuring out the human mind is a difficult thing. And you can always find experts to take pretty much any stand. We have clearly have experts, although with some time difference here, indicating some saying that he's mentally retarded, others saying he's not. And while the more recent psychiatric evaluations clearly say he's this guy is psychotic, earlier evaluations weren't so clear. And to give you an example of how this gets caught up in the court, his case ultimately ended up in federal court, going through the appeals process, as these death penalty cases do. And the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals sent this case back down to a lower court to say, listen, you've got to do an evaluation of this guy to determine precisely whether or not he's too mentally ill to be executed. The AG then took that decision to what's called an en banc decision, where all the judges in the Fourth Circuit meet. And they voted 7-6 to go ahead and proceed with the execution. What 7-6 tells me is 13 really smart people who really studied this situation, seven of them probably believe this guy should be executed, and six of them don't. And that's the kind of sort of split decisions you get when you're trying to judge competency in someone's mind.
Hey, can the governor legally postpone an execution indefinitely? Can he just keep postponing it?
Yes, absolutely. The governor in Virginia has total power over executions. He can commute the sentence. He can pardon the guy. Now, of course, he's not going to do that in this instance. And he can continue to postpone. You know, Governor Kane's remarks yesterday indicated that he is clearly convinced at this juncture that Mr. Walton is too mentally ill to be executed by the standards set by the U.S. Supreme Court. He said that, Governor Kane said that unequivocally. What he said was, I don't know, though, that he might not become more competent over the next year or year and a half. And so I'm going to wait and continue to observe this person.
Where is he right now?
Who is that?
Not the governor, Percy Walton.
Oh,
where is he being kept?
He's in the, where is Walton now? I'm actually not sure where he is at this very moment.
But they only do executions in one place, I would assume. Or do they have execution rooms in different prisons?
No, the executions are all in Southside, Virginia now. They were in the state, here at the state penitentiary, for many years, but then they were moved. And I would assume that he had already been moved to there if he wasn't already there.
Yeah. Kent, last question here. We got about a minute left. The Attorney General, Bob McDonnell, came out with a statement yesterday that he respectfully disagreed with the governor's postponement of this execution. And his reasoning was, in his statement, was he thought that the governor's move actually threatened the way the justice system works here in Virginia.
Well, you know, and of course the other factor that comes into all of these kinds of decisions is where do you stand ideologically? And let's face it, the Attorney General is for the death penalty. We know that Governor Kaine, when he ran, said, listen, I'm personally opposed to the death penalty. That's not going to affect my decision-making when it comes to carrying out Virginia laws. But in the end, you clearly have two different people with two different ideological approaches to the death penalty, and that clearly has an effect on this kind of decision making. I think here, though, that the governor has on his side an abundance of information at this time. During the early part of the trial history for Walton, the information on his psychiatric condition is sort of sketchy and maybe even contradictory at times. But the real issue right now is, at this juncture, when he is about to face execution, is he too mentally ill to do it? And there is such an abundance of information that he is. I think it would be hard for anyone to proceed, including the AG. A thing to remember about the court,
yeah, real
court's
quick
decision on 7-6 is the court could only deal with the information it had in front of it at the time. It did not have the right to go out and order new psychiatric evaluations. That's what Tim Kaine did.
Kent Willis is the executive director of the Virginia ACLU. Thank you so much, Kent.
Thank you, Corey.
Talk to you again.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.